This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, gorgeous. Welcome back to the Give Them La La podcast. How are we all doing today, Easton?
Amazing.
Amazing, Jessica.
So good.
How are you?
I'm feeling really, really great. We've had like a pretty fantastic week. It's been very eventful.
Very eventful.
Very eventful. Before we get into all the things, I want to let you guys know that we have officially dropped a bonus episode, and we will be dropping bonus episodes every single Monday. They will be out exactly where you find this regular podcast, and you will also find the videos on the YouTube channel and the bonus episode audio and video drop the same day every Monday. You're welcome.
Woohoo!
Make a big deal about it, Easton. Like, do you even care?
Well, yeah, honestly.
It's kind of a big deal.
It is a very big
deal. No, it's very exciting.
It is.
And people have been asking. They're like, I want to listen to you twice a week. Well, your wish is our command.
And we're here for it.
Yeah.
I enjoy recording these.
I do, too.
I'm always happy to be in here.
And the bonus is shorter, so you're not going to get annoyed with us. You know, we're still leaving you with, wanting more, missing us a bit. And the bonus episodes are much more structured, where I want to bring you guys in a little bit more. We're going to have topics rather than just me and my friends
ADHD
rambling
around the clock.
Yeah.
They're so fun, though. The topics so far are so good. And you guys are all being so active writing it. So thank you.
Are they?
Yes.
Okay,
I'm
good.
Trying to fix this arm, which you'll probably see on the video, and it keeps falling. So that's okay. Maybe I'll go like this. Yeah, better. Fixed it.
I think that's how you're supposed to do it anyway.
Oh.
I have been off social media. What's going on the internet or on social media?
First off, can you tell us why?
I am in a mode of protecting my energy right now and kind of incubating and creating a very positive environment for myself at this stage in my life. I don't feel that I need to really see what's going on in people's worlds that have nothing to do with my worlds. I want to live in reality and just protect my well-being right now. And I'm not saying that I won't be on socials again soon, but I've been off since I want to say Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been absolutely fabulous. So I've been out and about.
Right.
You know, I've been on Katie's socials, but I don't feel any desire to see what other people are doing, nor do I have a desire to show people what I'm doing.
I
love it.
Love this for you. And
you
I
do?
Yes. I always encourage people. I encourage Mr. Bubbs all the time is to take a social media break, even if it's a day.
Yeah.
I know you're doing longer, but that makes me happy.
My buddy, Jake.
Yeah.
He put like restrictions on his apps.
I love that.
Yeah. So he can only be on like Instagram for like 20 minutes of the day.
Okay.
So after that, it just kicks him off. So I think that's like a really good thing to do. But I like going cold turkey too. You don't need
I just
it.
Feel, I feel really happy. Like, good. Mentally, I feel pretty strong. And I think that's because social media has not been in my line of vision
right.
for a while.
Well, let me ask you something. So this is, because you asked what's going on socials, and just so people are aware, in case anything big happens before this comes out, we're recording this on January 19th, the premiere for Vanderpump Rules that we've already seen, because we saw it at the premiere party the other night, is that comes out on the 30th. Will you get back on socials for that, or will you especially ignore socials for that?
I will not be back on social media for the first episode. I don't see myself getting back on socials for a while. Mm-hmm. Maybe if I think something is worth posting, like the Emmy look, I was like, that needs to be posted. So I sent the photos that I wanted to Jessica, and Jessica has access to my Instagram. And I said, make this the caption, and then, like, we're good.
Mm-hmm. It's really, that was a stunning look, by the way.
No, I definitely don't think I'm going to get back on, especially for the first episode.
Right. Well, for socials, as far as right now, there's some talk I saw this morning about Rachel episode 2. Do you want to touch on that? Rachel's podcast episode 2. Do you want to touch on
there's
that at all?
There's another one?
Yeah, and I listened to it this morning.
And I did
Oh,
not.
Did you listen to it?
I sure
okay,
did.
So I have to say, Easton played me the tiniest little bit of the first episode after we recorded our podcast a couple weeks ago. And I did not think it was unbearable to listen to. Mm-hmm. I did not find her voice to be shaky or annoying. I found it to actually be pretty interesting. Again, I only listened to the tiniest little bit. But I thought she was good. And it was only the first episode. And Lord knows you only get better unless you're me. Then it's all downhill from the first episode.
Not true.
You become a little too comfortable.
That's what it is good. But she, That's well, good. Today when I listened to the episode, and, you know, I won't spend too much time on it, but I agree with you. I thought she did bring up, she said, you know, I know a lot of people are saying, I do laugh when I talk about things. It's not me being insensitive. That's what I do when I'm nervous. From someone who does the exact same thing.
Right.
I
can relate. It's an uncomfortable thing.
It's very uncomfortable.
And I said that.
I laugh.
I feel like I said that. I said that she was laughing, but it was an uncomfortable. I feel like I did touch on that when I was talking about it. I didn't think she was coming or laughing from a place of hate. It was almost like she was
Or like didn't care.
Yeah. It was. Yeah. She was uncomfortable. That's what you do. I've done it as well. You either laugh or you cry.
Yeah. She says something that...
Well, she usually laughs and then starts crying, and it's actually really, really sad.
No, that's...
It happened on when we were driving to Lake Havasu, I believe. She started laughing in the back of the car and then started sobbing, and it was heartbreaking.
So she said something that you say, which I was like, oh, wow, common... This is a common belief they have. So basically, Rachel said something that I've heard you say before. And she said, when someone dates so quick after a breakup, it's a red flag in my mind. But then she quickly follows it up with, but who am I to judge? It's not my life.
I agree. Mm-hmm. But we have a podcast. So this is a platform where we talk about other people, and we wouldn't do what they do. You know, this is where we ride on our high horse. I think it's a huge red flag. Not only do I think it's extremely unhealthy for someone to get out of a relationship and jump into another one, but it's a red flag for me when there's a person who's willing to get into a relationship with someone who just got out of a relationship.
Right. Right. I hear you. She also brings up, so that point I thought
Can
was
I say one other thing?
Yeah.
When someone or people say, there's no timeline to moving on. People move at their own pace. I cringe.
Same. Do you?
You're right. It's the difference between people who are unhealthy and who are healthy. Mm. Yes, you're right. There is no timeline. No one says when you should or shouldn't. But if we're going to like really break it down, it's really the difference between being a healthy person and being an unhealthy person.
I hear you. Can I bring this up? So Kyle was in a 4-year relationship before he met me. They broke up. We met, I think, 2 months later, and we were dating 4 months later. A lot of his friends said, dude, that is way too fast. Obviously, I mean, 7 years later and we're engaged. Maybe it wasn't too fast, but I'm just curious. What are your thoughts? If you're like, wow, that's fast, but also like
I think we're coming from two different places here.
Okay.
Because when you're coming from a place of probably of normalcy, right? Sometimes couples just break up.
Yeah.
Right. And in that regard, maybe it is where you can move on quickly. Okay. I'm coming from a place of traumatic breakups.
That's a good point.
Does that make sense?
Yes, traumatic breakups,
toxic,
cheating.
Right, or the relationship you were in was toxic and you realize it was toxic and then you move on. There are, see, this is where I start learning and I eat my words. Some people call it flip-flopping, but you just made an excellent point. If you're in a relationship and you two were just not right for each other, you wish each other the best, go move on. Mm-hmm. But I have personally only experienced and experienced other people around me have toxic relationships and there's usually cheating involved and it's a very traumatic breakup.
I think that's what separates where Kyle is and where other people are, and that's the healthy person and unhealthy. Kyle is healthy. The relationship ended, right?
Yeah.
There was no cheating.
There was no cheating. It
wasn't
right.
He knew what he has. He knows what he wants.
Yeah.
He's healthy. He found it in you. He doesn't need the time because he knew what he wanted with his ex and with you, and you were what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't need that time. When you start seeing what the cheating and the unhealthy person, you need to be able to be healthy to find that next step.
Yeah, that's a great. And just to reiterate, we did not meet while he was in the relationship.
That's another thing.
Right.
That I was
we met
say.
2 months later.
Right.
So, yeah.
A healthy person.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going to keep
normalcy,
relating that.
Normalcy, good
healthy.
People.
Yeah.
You know what you want. When you're like cheating on people, it's like you're wanting this, but you're wanting
it's called
this.
You have
you're
a lot unhealthy. Of self work to do.
Yeah. Right. Right.
So as you can tell, my trauma is still very deep rooted. And when I hear when someone, they're like, we broke up, and I'm like, was he a narcissistic fuck? Did he cheat? They're all assholes.
Last point she made that I think you wouldn't agree with is she does kind of one thing, big thing, Tom Schwartz, she said he knew the whole time. His apartment was their safe space. Yeah, I think we all knew that.
I think we all knew that, believe that. And, you know, I just, I want Raquel or Rachel, I keep doing that.
What?
And I know that I don't want it to seem disrespectful when I call her Raquel.
Here's the thing. If she wants to be Raquel,
she
can be
Raquel. She wants to be Rachel because she feels like who she was as Raquel, and that could be deep-rooted, and she may have worked with an actual doctor. For me, I'm sorry. The name Raquel slaps. It just does.
It's funny now. It's wild now that people are going back to calling her Raquel because she wants to be called Rachel.
It's a little fucked up.
No, it's way
I'm
fucked
like,
up.
I'm like, everyone
but
is going
But maybe she's
Raquel.
Doing it on purpose.
The one thing you wouldn't like of the episode, and then I'm done making points on her episode, she puts a lot on the producers as far as the scene with her making out with Schwartz. She said her date going on a date with Peter. She said they previously had a date. It didn't work out. And she claims like the producers really wanted that. Same with the Schwartz thing. She said they set up a table. There was lighting. So she puts a lot on the producers as far as that. She said, you know, we were acting. The
producers set up lighting and cameras? You mean we're filming a television show?
At the wedding.
What the fuck? No shit, Sherlock.
Right. Right. So that was something. But I think overall it was
And by the way,
good.
Had they not set up the lighting, it would have really been an ill makeout session. Because it was like watching an uncle make out with his... like
at the premiere
niece. It was disgusting
at the premiere. They kept cutting to that scene and Lala's sitting next to me. She's like, oh, I can't watch. Ugh. What did you say? You're like, it's like a grandpa making out with
his daughter or whatever,
or his grandchild or something.
Yeah. I said it's like watching a dad make out with his
that's
daughter.
That's what it was.
And his glasses were all steamy.
Yes.
It was just really bad. And then Schwartz, he was like holding his face at the premiere because they did keep cutting away from that. Yeah. I don't like when anybody blames anything on producers. I just don't.
Yeah.
I just don't. We all know the drill. We all know the drill. And then when the people have a tough time with it, we got to place the blame somewhere. You know? And let's not forget, like, I don't think people would have really cared that she made out with Schwartz. Like, I think the audience would have been like, really team Raquel because she was coming into her own and she didn't really owe Katie much. I think that's where I think the audience would have been.
Wasn't that scripted? Was that brought up?
What?
Raquel said that the makeout with Sandoval was scripted.
Well, that's what she meant. That's what I meant when I said
with Sandoval
said
or Schwartz?
Oh, Schwartz. Sorry.
Oh.
Schwartz.
Yeah, when she said the producers were involved, she basically was like.
That's literally Schwartz. What. Are you listening? That's literally what the whole conversation has been about.
I was reading this thing. Some God. Girl goes, first of all, Raquel's parents bought her the the dog Graham for her birthday. It was a gift. She didn't go and buy a dog herself. So Lala calling her the B word is inaccurate.
I call everyone also, the B word, bitch. Get over it.
Considering Lala slept with her boyfriend, being James, but it's like...
It's not. I wasn't your friend, ho.
This is where I was reading.
Wait, hold on. Please tell me.
So this is what this girl's... Do I give her...
Read it aloud. And what's her name? Give her a fucking shout out.
Is this on Instagram?
Make her famous for 5 seconds.
Yeah. Her name is It's Jazz XX. Mado Kemagi. Just if you want. There she is.
I don't think they can show it, but read it.
First... All right. This was last night, too. First of all, Raquel's parents bought her the dog, Graham, for her birthday. Well,
So both she and her parents are dumbasses. All right, noted.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you for
both
that.
Both of them are uneducated.
It was a gift. Go get them a gift from
the shelter.
Yep. All right. Fucks. All right. So Lala calling her the B word is inaccurate. Also, pretty hypocritical considering Lala slept with her boyfriend.
What does that have to do with adopting a dog? Yeah. Me fucking James. What does that have to do with going to a shelter and getting a dog?
Then you have an issue with Raquel taking her pants off. Well, yeah.
Well, yeah, kind of. When my friend is sleeping upstairs in the bedroom, I got a little bit of a problem with some random hoe taking her pants off.
And then she goes, she's not saying it wasn't wrong. She's explaining what happened. The person who kissed Raquel was Sandoval, so you should be pissed at him. First of all, she, like I said, she was the one who walked to a locked door and then walked behind into the backyard. You are telling Sandoval, I can fuck you.
Let's be very clear.
You're not
okay?
telling...
Number one, it was shitty of you to take your pants off.
Yes.
When your friend
but also,
and his girlfriend are is sleeping,
is
upstairs.
Sleeping upstairs.
It is very shitty of Sandoval...
No, it's shitty of
to
them both, but
be
she
like,
should have said no.
To think with his wiener. No, but he also shouldn't have made the move.
Exactly, but
you
also,
shouldn't have taken your pants off.
Yeah.
And he should not have said, and he shouldn't have taken the bait.
I agree. I also have to say, you take your pants off, that is not saying
and then
I can, that is not.
That's called, that's called I don't want to swim in my jeans.
You can fuck, yes, you can fuck me. I should be able to, it'd be fucked up. But I'm just saying, if I'm with a guy and he's got a girlfriend, I would never do this. And I take my pants off and my shirt, fucked up. But I'm not saying you can fuck me. I'm saying you can fuck me when I say, hey, you can fuck me. You know what I'm
yes,
saying?
Yes, 100%.
Okay.
And let's be very clear. Sandoval, I gave the wrath to.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is Raquel disappeared. I was given no option to have a productive conversation with this person. So it's not that I'm still holding her feet to the fire and Sandoval gets off scot-free. It's that Sandoval was in front of me for us to have a productive conversation, which is exactly why I wanted Raquel to come back so that she could come into a place where dust had settled, time has passed, logic sinks in, and you have a productive conversation, okay? Just because you have a cookie doesn't mean I'm a huge fan of yours, right? Like, I don't just, like, support women. But I do prefer women over men, okay? Doesn't mean I like all women. In fact, women are usually the ones that come for me.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, like, that's men bad. Are pretty cool to me. Yeah. It's usually the chicks who are fucking assholes.
Yeah, it's right? All the chicks that
and usually registered
too.
Nurses.
Oh!
Yeah,
at the RN.
They're the real see you next Tuesdays.
Not the frontline worker.
I don't want
don't
you
sick.
Ever coming
get
in
sick.
And making me feel better.
We love our nurses here at the Give Them Lala Pod, okay?
We love our nurses, but I'm just saying when I click on their Instagram pages, it always says I'm an RN. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Ones. Not the rude ones.
They're the ones yes. that jam the needle into you rather yes. than say, this is won't hurt a bit. What'd you do today?
Yeah.
Do you like Jell-O? They're the ones who don't give a damn.
Do you like Jell-O?
Right? And their names are Beatrice.
Not Beatrice.
Not Beatrice. So although I appreciate, yeah. here's the thing. I always say the bitch word. Bitch, 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 bitch. Love a good bitch.
Love it.
I stand behind saying that you should adopt, not shop, for this girl, Jazzy XX. Bitch,
yeah,
to say
her, to defend to say her parents, it's like, right. Well, the apple doesn't fall far from the fucking tree, right?
Doesn't,
what are you talking
doesn't
about?
Matter. Me sleeping with James, that seems
irrelevant.
Out of complete left field.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean, left field?
It's like a baseball term, I think,
it's a
right?
baseball
came
term?
Out of left field, came but you always want it to come out of the right field.
Yeah, that's it.
All right,
producer
left
John.
Field is usually that's yeah, it's out,
out of nowhere.
Most people don't hit in left field. It's like statistically, you hit in right center. Left field's wild.
All right. So, yes, it was out of left field.
And I have to say, I know this comes out before the premiere, but I'm very, this is all I'm going to say. I'm very interested for all you guys being like, Lala dragging Raquel. Whitey got a bully. There's not a lot of you, but I've just seen a couple. I'm interested to hear your feedback on what you think about the premiere and the season.
Here's
That's
the
all
thing.
I'm going to
say. I'm tough as it gets, but I'm also as soft as it gets.
You see that.
And I will build a bitch up, but I will tear a bitch down. All right?
Bam.
Just depends on how you step to me. It is what it is. I don't know how I'll be received this season, but you know what? I'm not really too worried about it because I'm off social media, so I won't even know what y'all say. So I have two game changers to share with you when it comes to upping your glam game. I am totally obsessed with Impress No Glue Manis and Impress Press-On False Eyelashes because I'm very into just easy right now, and anyone can do it. You are going to love them just as much as I do. Both require zero glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes. There's also no annoying dry time. And the best part, zero mess. One step and you're done. The lash style options are endless, and there are so many on-trend nails to choose from. Impress, No Glue Manis, and Press-On Falsies are the easiest and fastest way to upgrade your look in just minutes. The Press-On Falsies have a unique under-lash application for a totally seamless look and are made with an exclusive self-stick technology that keeps them secure for up to 24 hours. The Impress Manis have a patented super hold adhesive for up to 7 days secure hold. And that's perfect for all of you busy mamas out there who don't have a lot of time to spend on glam but want to look your best. I completely get it. Impress No Glue Manis and Impress No Glue Press-On Falsies are absolutely a beauty must. You need to try them right now. So get yours today at impressbeauty.com/Lala. And use code LALA at checkout for 25% off Impress Manicure and Press-On Falsies. That's impressbeauty.com/LALA and use code LALA at checkout for 25% off.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Let's talk about, very quickly, the premiere party was absolutely fantastic.
It was great.
It was surreal to walk in and be like, this is for our show.
It was incredible. The food, the ambiance, the florals.
All of it.
Did you notice that they changed the florals too?
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
You guys didn't notice that?
No.
So when we got there, there was flowers.
A certain amount of florals.
A certain amount. And then when they were starting the show, they brought one more.
Oh.
I don't know if you
heard.
I know.
It
when
was like,
the food and stuff.
This is meet and greet florals. Mm. This is appetizer florals, dessert florals. I love it. That has Lisa Vanderpump written over it.
It was
well
stunning.
Done.
Thank you for taking the crew.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, we took the whole crew. Yeah. I loved it. Teresa Giudice says the food in prison was so good. She often cooked for her fellow inmates, her specialty dishes. She cooked for 200 people camp style. And she said that her most favorite thing in prison was the banana nut muffins.
So she's living off that elderly commissary.
She said, I would have a banana nut muffin every morning, and then they ended up running out of them, and I was so mad. Well, Teresa, you ate them all. You ate them all, girl.
You were so mad. You know what? Cool. Good to hear, because I've only ever heard the food in prison is not great.
No, I think that's
for, like, murderers.
No,
She was in prison with, like, doctors, lawyers.
So she was in, like, a bougie prison area?
Yeah, there's like different kinds.
I'm gonna
of
tell you right now, if you got there's a lot of prisons. I don't know if anybody knows Pusheysti.
No,
but he's in prison.
Okay,
and like murder, I believe.
Okay, casual.
But going through the steps, but he even like you see cell. You live pretty nice in prison. I don't know how they're getting it in there. People got phones. People
prison talk, baby.
Oh, my gosh. I watch people, like, on TikTok. They're making, like, burritos under their bed. It's looking
they're
like
very
Taco
resourceful.
No.
I will say, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Teresa Giudice.
I could see the food being money in there, too.
Oh, especially with Tree. Full-on Italian.
Oh.
Three-time New York Times bestsellers.
Yeah.
Cookbooks.
And she got the commissary. I'm telling you, she can get whatever she wants in there.
Oh yeah, she's.
I'm gonna err on the side that I don't want to try prison food, but good for everyone.
I want to try prison food outside of prison.
I'm sorry, for Teresa Giudice to have to serve prison time for something her husband did. You're a fucking gangster,
mm-hmm.
And I have mad respect for you. You went in. You left four children behind. Mm-hmm. You held it together. You came out. Look what you got. I mean, I love it. And she said she still communicates with some of her cellmates or people who were in prison with her.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Good well, that's got to be a bonding experience.
Oh, my
right?
God, yeah.
Right.
They really know who you are.
They know. Yeah, they do.
They know her better than anyone outside of prison.
That's
guaranteed.
Yeah, they see you at your most vulnerable moment, of course. Mm-hmm. Madonna's being sued for starting her New York City concert, I guess concerts, late. Two fans of Madonna filed a lawsuit against the singer on January 17th, accusing her of false advertising, negligent misrepresentation, and unfair and deceptive trade practices.
Don't sound like fans to me.
Suing her for being late or for not showing?
No, she was late.
Honestly.
Ain't fans to me.
Have you never been at a concert where Lil Wayne never showed?
I've been to a concert where it's like 12 o'clock and then it's like 1:30 and you're like, all right.
Here's
2 o'clock comes and you get them for 30 minutes and you're like, oh, whatever.
They're high
Got
as fuck.
Them. I know. They don't even sing. They're just walking around. It's just playing.
Madonna fans seem like squares, kind of.
Yeah, they're not fans
late?
From what I'm seeing.
It's Madonna. She can be late.
Let her be late.
She could come up on stage, smack her ass, walk off, and I'd be like, I got my money's worth.
Bravo.
Yeah,
right? We're talking about
Madonna.
The woman who does Vogue. The Vogue. I mean.
Get it, girl.
Right?
Got it, girl.
Madonna can do whatever she wants. Yeah. She could literally be 4 hours late, come out, take a shit on stage, leave, and I'd be like,
a standing ovation.
Take a shit on stage.
Standing
Oh my God.
Kanye West got a new titanium grill.
I was looking
dentures,
at it.
It actually.
Looks like it's AI on the
I'm
photo.
So over him. I've been over him for so long.
I cannot get enough of him.
I'm sick of him.
It's like watching a semi truck crash over and over again and like just hauling ass spinning down the 405, taking everyone out.
Why
it's
are these
gnarly.
People helping him recreate the semi after it crashes?
These people,
I don't know.
I'm saying, get off the fucking semi. It's us that make him feel.
We're
this
saying
way.
The
get
F word a lot on this episode.
Are we?
Not you, Jess.
No,
me
I
Easton.
Just said it though. I said hi as F.
It's because Ocean's been gone and we save all of our F words for when she's gone because we can't say it when she's here.
I thought you were going to say it's because Ocean's been saying it. And she's rubbing off on
Ocean's just rubbing off on us.
No. But listen, they're fixed. So the rep says they are permanent. This goes way beyond veneers or grills, the source added. And his particular implant is quite unlike anything that has ever been done before. Because it's extremely hideous. He didn't say that. I added that. It's experimental dentistry, to say the least.
If I'm
lovely.
If I'm gonna experiment with anything, it's not gonna be my teeth.
No, and have you seen them?
They're the most painful thing.
They look like the wooden grills that people used to wear back in the day.
Yeah, I can't. They used to back in the day.
Are you for
real? Like, yeah, they used to have donkey teeth. And like horse teeth.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like that, except
or dead
it looks
people's teeth.
And guess what, you guys? They were designed entirely by Ye with the assistance of medical and dental experts. I'm sorry. It should have been he should have been assisting the medical dentistryers. What do you mean?
Their assistance. It's all them.
It's all them. It's all them. And it only costs you $850,000 if you want the titanium.
Are you for real?
850 G's.
Oh, no, thank
the
you.
The things that
pocket
you
pocket change.
I'm so... I have two viewpoints on Kanye. Number one, I'm over him. He, to me, is like a walking baked potato. I'm like, what are you doing? And then on the other side, I feel bad because I know Northwest like is obsessed with her dad. And it's sometimes really sad to watch. She loves him so much. And it's just like, you're going to have a lot to deal with. And that's not my business, but that's just what it is.
It is. It's kind of our business. We have a podcast and we have people to entertain. So you know what? The Kardashians are going to have to take one for the team.
Well, I don't know what his girlfriend's wearing out and about nowadays. Like,
I love it. I love her giant tits flopping everywhere with the tiniest little bit of nipple cover.
Super tits.
I hate it.
You know what? Live your life. Bianca's her name, right?
Bianca, yep. Sensory or
Bianca's
something.
Bianca's going to have some back problems.
And they're real.
Stop it.
They look very real to me.
Good for her.
Yeah, they're juicy.
Yeah.
Every time I see boobies like that, I'm like, I want fake tits. And I'm going to get them. I don't know if they're going to be fake, but I'm going to get something after I have my first child.
The thing is...
like a lift.
Okay, because let me tell you something, Jessica. You breastfeed.
Yeah.
And they become voluptuous and yummy, and then all of a sudden they deflate like little sad balloons.
No, they're like little windsock titties.
Like smaller than they were before?
Blowing in the air.
Windsocks.
Haven't you seen windsocks?
No. Like the flag?
Yeah, like a windsock flag. Just two little windsocks floating in the air.
Oh. We love all titties here on Give Them All a Podcast. It's got an, making that clear. Even if they're windsocks.
Any titty is a good titty.
No. I love
boobs. A boob with no titty is a good boob.
There we go.
How do you have a boob with no titty? You mean nipple?
Or yeah. Well, isn't that a titty? The nipple? I call a nipple a titty. Does everybody know?
No, boobs are titties. What are you talking about?
A nipple's a nipple, and a titty is a titty.
There's the areola, there's the nipple, and then there's the breast. Mm-hmm.
So there's the titty areola.
Speaking of areolas, do you guys watch, is it called Naked Dating on Netflix?
No, but I want to because you've talked about this a lot.
I talk about it so much. I am enthralled with it. I'm looking. You see vagina, penis, titty. You see every single
thing. No blur?
So is it Naked of Afraid without...
Yeah, but like,
pretty much.
No, but they start at their feet and the penis, and the host will go in and she'll be like, oh, that's weird. That's quite a interesting willy.
Oh, they have accents?
Yes.
Oh, so it makes it so classy.
Australian?
This would never film here. This is a UK show. But it's on Netflix. It's incredible. And I find myself commenting on the penises like, too much foreskin, not like on the vaginas. I'm like, interesting labia choice or like whatever.
Like she chose it? Like it was build your character?
No, that's me talking to God.
Interesting labia. That's you talking to God. I can't. I'm so dead. Did you mean to make her labia this way?
I don't know. We picked it.
That's so funny.
I mean, you guys got to watch it.
Okay, let's start watching it.
It's so good.
I don't know if I want to just kind of like sit down with my sister and mother and watch just naked people.
Well, I do it with Kyle and it's...
Well, you and Kyle fuck each other.
That's true.
It's like basically watching porn with your partner.
That's true.
I don't watch porn with my brother and my mother. I'm sure people would not be shocked if we did, but we don't.
Shocker.
Good to know.
The family night does not consist of that. But so Cards Against Humanity, which Lisa is extremely inappropriate.
She wins every time.
She wins every time.
We now know we get our minds from.
Because she's so funny.
She's so funny. Dirty. Did you guys watch American Nightmare, the kidnapping hoax with Denise Huskin?
No, but can you tell us about this? Because you know when you said kidnapping hoax, I thought you were talking about the hoax where they remembered there was a flying balloon and they said some child was inside of it.
No.
And there was a hoax?
There was
a flying giant balloon and like everyone was chasing it because a family said our child's inside of it and then it finally lands.
Like a hot air balloon?
Yeah, something like, it's like a weather balloon but like big enough and then it finally lands in a field and there's no kid and they're like, oh, it's a hoax. And it was like, you know, there were so many people involved and the family was just doing it for fame. Anyway, keep
that
going
is
on here.
So
you get
you guys
weird.
Don't remember this?
No.
Producer John, do you remember that? Are you for real?
No. Google it.
We'll put up a clip here. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so it's on Netflix. I do remember it. Easton told me last night, watch Louder Milk.
Louder Milk. Have you ever
seen it? Which I want to start watching.
Louder Milk.
It's like a recovery. So they're in AA, and his last name is just Louder Milk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it's like 22-minute sitcom like style or whatever.
Thing, so it's funny.
But he told me to watch that, but when I put Netflix on, you know, they do the preview of like what's new. And I remember this hoax. And to be quite honest, I still thought to this day that these people made this shit up until I watched this 3-part series.
Okay.
Okay? So there's this woman. It starts with the boyfriend first, Aaron. Okay. And Aaron calls the police in the morning and says, my girlfriend was kidnapped last night. And he's like monotone. Like nothing. It doesn't even seem like a big deal. And they're so confused. And they go, well, what do you mean last night? People broke in last night and they took my girlfriend. Well, why are you only calling right now? Because I was tied up and they gave me a sedative. So they come and get him. They bring him in for questioning. He talks about how people broke into his house at 3 a.m. They zip tied their hands. They put swim goggles on them with duct tape. And he said he was cold. And the guy goes, oh, I'm so sorry, Aaron. I forget how cold it is in here because I'm wearing a wetsuit. He's telling the police this. And he goes, and then they put me on the couch. They took my girlfriend, Denise, and they took my car and left. They kidnapped my girlfriend. And the story seems so insane, right? Whatever. Cut to 48 hours later. Denise is found on a Ring camera walking up to her dad's house in Huntington Beach, which is 400 miles away from where this took place in Vallejo, California, Bay Area. So now they're like, I don't think he made it up. I think she made this up. And she has the exact same story. And it is heartbreaking. The only thing I hated about her episode was that they kept doing a close-up of this eyeball going like this.
Why?
And it made me, because they were like, I was in the trunk and I had these goggles on. And so they were doing, but it was like so many close-ups of an eyeball. And I was like, this has got to end. You've got to stop doing a close-up of an eyeball. I'm going to crawl out of my own skin.
Weird creative
choice. I really, really hated that part of it.
Okay.
About
did
her.
It just make you sick or was it like a visual, like it was you disgusting. Got like motion sickness?
It kind of both. It was just like, you shouldn't see an eyeball that close up for an extended period of time. Yeah, it's like, it's the entire screen, this eyeball.
And it's moving. Like, oh.
And it's a reenactment. Yeah. That's weird.
Was such a weird creative choice. So then she tells her story, exact same as Aaron. They threw me in a trunk. I was in there for a couple hours. I was then taken into a house. He was very kind to me, would take me to the bathroom. He was not violent, but then he came in and told me that his colleagues needed me to have sex with one of them because if we release you, there's a chance you could go to the police. So if you go to the police, we're releasing this sex tape. So she said, I did not fight back. I knew that it would be violent then. Mm-hmm. So I just took it.
She got assaulted. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
He comes back in again the next day and says, we have to redo it because my colleagues said that it doesn't look consensual. You need to look like you're my girlfriend. You have to enjoy it. You have to look like you enjoy it.
I'm sick to my stomach.
It is heartbreaking watching her talk about this. So she then says that he then comes in and says, it's time to release you. I'm taking you home. And she's shocked by it. She gets in the front seat. He gives her more of the sedative. They drive from Lake Tahoe, we find out, to Huntington Beach. And then the police, Vallejo police, start pinpointing it on her because it's so far-fetched. And she says that she was not sexually assaulted. Anyway, cut to the third episode, and it happens again.
To a different
family.
She said she wasn't sexually assaulted. I just
because
want to get
she
this
was because
release the.
Because she's, yes, because they were going to release the sex
she
tape.
Says got if it, she okay. went to the cops, they'd release.
Yes, they also threatened her and her family.
Okay.
They said, we'll take care of you if you go to the police.
Got it.
We will always be watching you. So in the meantime, the police are putting out that Denise and her boyfriend, this is a hoax, okay? The kidnapper is actively writing this like Bay Chronicle, right? This writer who is keeping up on the story and putting out the stories, you know, daily with updates. And he's emailing this writer saying it's not a hoax. The Vallejo police have X amount of hours to acknowledge that this is real or I will do this again. He says, I'm in the military. I have PTSD. I went to this college for this. Like, he's giving details about himself. It's like he wants people to know that what she's saying is real. So anyway, they then show in the third episode, Dublin, California, 40 miles outside of Vallejo. This happens again. However, the kidnapper at this point in time runs away, but he originally was going to kidnap this random daughter, right, of this couple who calls the police. He left duct tape behind, something else, and a cell phone. They use the cell phone to call someone. It happens to be his mother, right? She goes, oh, yeah, that's my son. He's staying at my house in Tahoe. They roll up to the house. They collect evidence. There's evidence of the sedative. There's evidence of this room that looks very sketchy, and the police are thinking this is very scary.
Mm-hmm. Adding up.
They find a bag in the back of his car that has the fucking goggles and a strand of hair that leads back to this Denise Huskin. I am so utterly terrified of the police.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just the legal system. Like, to watch what these people went through. She goes, it was so crazy because I was so excited to be released. And I thought that the kidnapping was the worst part. And she goes, come to find out, what was waiting at home was law enforcement thinking that I made this up. And they tried to paint her out as, like, a whore and, like, a piece of trash. And even when they would write Vallejo police, send the emails that the guy from the Chronicle was getting saying, I didn't make this up, no fucking response from them. Shame on the fucking Vallejo police.
What year was this? Then
2015.
So then hold on. This was proven, yet it's not then blasted all over the news like they were wrong. This wasn't a hoax. So even someone like you who was paying attention to the story was like, wait, I thought it was a hoax.
Yeah, well, now it's everywhere, well, obviously, yeah, since this came out. Oh, devastating.
That is horrific. Oh, my God.
They asked, so Denise's lawyer asked for a rape test to be conducted on her. Mm-hmm. And the Vallejo police said, we'll only do that if she gives us a statement. It's like, are you, like, this needs...
This isn't tip or
tap. This needs to happen immediately. And come to find out, it did show that she had intercourse in the last 48 hours.
Horrific.
It's wild. Oh, like, they don't care who did it. They just want to pin something on somebody so they can say case closed. It's wild to me. So I just want to put out there that anybody in law enforcement or the legal system who's out in these streets, like, really doing God's work and seeking justice and listening and putting the pieces of the puzzle together, and not just to close the case, but to really find the truth, like, those people deserve a lot of credit and they deserve to be acknowledged.
And thank you. And also, bravo to
a really long story.
No, that was like, I'm going to watch it. Bravo to these documentarians, these podcasters, all these creatives coming out of the woodwork because we have platforms now making stuff like this.
No,
like,
really,
this
though.
Is the it's stuff.
Crazy.
Bravo. Because, like,
bravo.
The murder podcast, things are being solved because there's, like, you know, internet investigative people. And just, like, bravo for the creatives.
What do they call them?
Who make keyboard, no, not warriors. That's a bad
They're called, it's called civil. No.
I really do want to know the name of it because it is, like, the people that do it have brought a lot of people to justice.
No, I know. I'm
Like, rebringing up cases that are like, hey, we just saw this and we thought it was
civilian journalism or something.
Yeah, it's incredible. All of it.
Yeah.
All of it.
Shout out to
all of it.
Yeah.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Anyway, let's move into Housewives. So did you guys watch the reunions of Utah?
Yes, part two.
Salt Lake.
Part one.
How do we feel?
I felt.
Felt like Utah.
Wild, right?
Did it feel like Utah to you? Like everything was like, it's just the same.
A bunch of like very bored people in a bubble. Yes.
Is
right?
mm-hmm. that what it
Don't
felt?
Talk on my business. I'm a staple in Salt Lake. It's like, all right. Fucking who
Housewives,
cares?
Though, I got to say fresh in my mind right now is, and I'm saying this because my tune has changed a little since we last talked about it, is Monica's mom.
Psychopath.
She's
I'm
nutcase.
Horrified And I said last time, I was like, oh, they're both the same. And Monica, and I did say like, oh, Monica had to grow up with that. My stance now is like, that's trauma. Having a mother like that, having someone leave like that and say, bye-bye, I'm going to chase my dreams. And it's like.
And then live her dream through you.
Yeah, I'm heartbroken. And then the prayer saying for the housewives, crying on your mother's couch. Monica's crying on her mom's couch saying, I don't think I got it, blah, 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 I'm heartbroken. The mom says, let's say a prayer. And she prays that she, the mom, would become a housewife.
Yeah.
Why the fuck would she become a housewife?
Horrifying.
Does she know? I mean,
she's
I'm not
like
trying
very
to talk
old
shit,
too.
But like, yeah, she's nothing. I don't want to look at her.
No,
and I don't think she's pleasant to hear speak.
No.
She's, it was heartbreaking.
No, she's
but see, this
volatile.
But this is where I get a little bit.
I don't even know her name.
Like, I don't really know how I feel, right? Because let's take Raquel. We have no idea what her home life was like, what she experienced in school. Monica, she's now opened up about what a toxic mom she grew up with. You sit there and you're like, yes, we've all been dealt shitty hands. And it's all about how you deal with it, right? But I couldn't help but feel so heartbroken for her and be like, well, no wonder you are the way you are. But, you know, at some point, like you can't blame your bad actions on your upbringing. But at the same time, I come from a place of such privilege and I had such an incredible upbringing. And even though I may not be trolling people on the internet, you know, I've certainly done other things that I'm not proud of. So it's like, at what point do you practice compassion and sympathy and empathy for someone because of maybe what they've been through, but also like keep your guard up? It's like and it's kind of what I struggled with this season, mm-hmm. you know, and finding a softer spot for Raquel because I don't know what she went through as a child, mm-hmm. you know? Like, sometimes we just fuck up because we're human. Other times, like, we look at the world differently because we were raised much different than maybe, you know, our friends were.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you. And I don't think it's such a clear-cut line. I think it is, like, no, I don't think it can be an excuse for your actions. Let's just talk about Monica. But at the same time, we also have to realize, like, oh, wow, she went through something with that woman that a lot of us didn't. And we don't know. or people who haven't experienced that, I will never know what it's like to be raised like that. And just the things that are programmed into your mind, mm-hmm. in your brain, that is probably so difficult to unlearn. So it's like, I think it's the same thing. I think it's like, we're not saying, she's fine. She made this mistake. Let's give her an excuse because she is a shit mom. But we're also realizing, like, damn, you know, she's been dealt a shitty hand with that mom. And she maybe made these mistakes because of it, you know?
Yeah.
Same with Rachel. I hear you with Rachel. You know, like, we don't know what she went through, her upbringing. That's with all of us.
But that's what I mean. Yeah. And so for me, maybe a few years ago, even a few months ago, someone could come and tell me their sob story. And I'd be like, we've all dealt with shit, you know? But I just don't know that I want to think that way anymore.
That's great.
Because I don't really appreciate when I'm trying to explain where I'm coming from and someone tells me we all have our shit. It's like,
everybody's
right, so let's be
different.
Let's be a little easier on each other.
Yeah.
That's the thing, yeah. Mm-hmm. Everybody comes from, that's the one thing I always say, emotions are personal. You can't tell me that my emotions are misplaced because they're personal.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yours are the same. So it's like, you got to come from that place of understanding because everybody may not explain their emotions the way you may explain the way their emotions are. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like that, it's just tough.
It's very tough. I do think there is a chance that Monica will come back next season.
I have a really good feeling. If Monica can dismiss her mom and make a mm-hmm. really good comeback, I think she will make a very good season 2 for herself, mm-hmm. and even 3. I think she'd have longevity in it.
Yeah.
But she has to dismiss her mother.
Yeah.
I feel like she's a puppet for her mom right now.
That mom is
beyond.
Well, we got to stop saying the F word, East.
Sorry.
That's an abusive relationship. I mean, that's all. Like she said, people are like, why didn't you cut her? I forget who said it. Why didn't you let her come on the show after she talked like that? And Monica's like, yeah, I'm used to it. That was my mom. Yeah.
I loved when she said that. Yeah. And Andy, she goes, I think it's maybe because I'm so used to it. And he goes, yeah, you are.
Mm-hmm. And I can't remember. I think it was Lisa. And she goes, I kept asking, why do you not want us to like your mom? And you just kept saying, you'll see it. And I can understand that because when you're asked that, and I'm just coming from that point, it's like, she's done so much shit. It's like I'm being asked, and in the moment, it's like I don't even know which one to pinpoint. So you'll see. And even Andy was like, you've seen. You saw.
Yeah.
It.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that he said that too, because it's just like, holy shit, you can't even pinpoint one thing. She's done so many things.
I ran into someone who's in the Housewives circle, like production, and for Salt Lake. And just when I said, you cannot have her back. And keep in mind, right now, you guys are going to see, maybe even throughout this season, even on this podcast, that it seems like I'm a bit of a flip-flopper. Like, I'll go really heavy in the paint, and then I kind of ease up a bit, and then I may go heavy in the paint. It's because I'm not quite sure how to navigate things. I'm feeling very torn on how to be soft and let people in, but also deal with the things that I've dealt with and, you know, kind of retrain myself to not have a permanent wall up. So just roll with me. In this moment where I am practicing compassion and going like, I get it. When I met this guy, I was like, you cannot have this woman back. And he just kind of sat there and smiled like, we'll see.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I think she may be back.
I was going to say, also, thank you for that journey. I love you. I know you've been calling it flip-flopping, but allowing people to see that, it's like we're all changing our minds all the time, and it makes it just a safer space for us to be like, you know what? I don't feel that way anymore. I know I said this yesterday, but today.
Flip-flopping, I think it's called growth.
Well, that's what people call it. I don't call it flip-flopping. And here's the thing. I'm not a politician. I'm not like, you know, out in these streets being like, I'm your new candidate for the Democratic Party. Oh, wait, guys, I think I might be a Republican. Like, I'm just out in these streets trying to understand life and emotion. And I'm really tired because, like, the human mind is a lot.
It's a lot.
It is a lot. And sometimes I want to hang my mind, my personality, my face on the door and be like, I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear it. You're annoying.
Walking away for a minute.
Welcome to my life.
But unfortunately, I have bills to pay. So here I am. Let's quickly touch on BH. So we're back at the homeless, not toothless event. Erica is hit on by her dentist. I totally relate. Erica probably goes to her dentist with giant sunglasses on, hair in a bun, no makeup. Here's my grill. Now here she is at this event looking absolutely fabulous. The dentist doesn't recognize her. She's like, what's her name? He's like, Dr. so-and-so. And she goes, I patient. He was like, you look beautiful. She's like, thank you. No, you really look beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. I totally relate. It's like the people in the building that are like, are you? Hold up.
Oh,
are you sure you live here?
Oh, you with the dog.
Yes, exactly. I learned Anne Marie is very annoying. The most annoying. She's very into talking about how she is a nurse, that she's in the medical field. I need it to end.
So
I need it to end.
So
guess what, bitch?
RNs,
we're back on the nurses.
Right,
you
the
are
RN.
Officially not in the medical field. You're just a housewife. That's all we know, yes. You're a housewife. Once you sign up for any type of Bravo show, this is your identity.
Yeah.
Right.
All right? So get used to it. If I hear her say one more thing about being in the medical profession, I'm going to lose my mind. So much so that Crystal becomes upset because, you know, the esophagus thing with Sutton. This Anne Marie keeps bringing it up. And she goes, I looked it up for hours on end and it doesn't exist. And the only way that happens is if you have an eating disorder. And of course, Crystal has been open about her eating disorder. So she goes, I don't like this. Goes toes with her. And Anne Marie thinks that it's because she's jealous that she's in the medical profession. And that's what Crystal always wanted. So there that's why she thinks. It's like, you cannot get out of this bubble of the medical profession. It's actually because you are labeling that someone has an eating disorder when Crystal clearly has had one. And like, you don't just like throw that out there. Also, as someone who watched their dad, like we've talked about, it's very much a real thing. And so Crystal looks it up and it actually is a real thing. And it's genetic, which is all what Crystal what Sutton had said. And Crystal goes, it's just crazy that this like woman in the medical field took hours of research. And I freaking Googled it and found it in 5 minutes. She goes, so it seems like I'm also in the medical field.
Right. Did she just say it just so she can be something else and be smarter or looked at as brighter than the other housewives?
Maybe. Yeah, probably.
Give you a leg up because you're in the medical field. You better listen to her. It's like, what we talk about has nothing to do with the medical field, so whatever.
Well,
who cares?
I guess she also told Crystal when they first met that she was like an anesthesiologist and she's actually not. And she said, I'm a doctor and she's actually not.
An anesthesiologist.
She's a nurse.
They make like the most money in the medical field.
Well, she's married to like a professional, an ex-professional football player, I think.
Yeah.
Who's very cute.
I love great, but anesthesiologists have to like go through the most medical field because if you give too much, those are the people who are coming in and giving you just the right amount.
Honey, I've had a boob job, a couple of them.
You know.
You can kill somebody.
You know
your
that
insurance.
You can
as
kill
an
someone. Or.
Is
someone
like
could
$1.5 million a year.
Yes,
it's just for your insurance.
That's what I went to college for. That was my first.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, she is. We talked about this. She's not an anesthesiologist.
She's not.
No,
right.
Else she'd still be doing that over the housewives.
But at the very beginning, she said she was one.
Yeah.
So let's make it clear. Crystal has outed her and said that is not what she is. Mauricio didn't go. So Kyle's best friend since childhood ends up committing suicide. It is devastating. She has this beautiful event for her that's not only a celebration of life, but also for NAMI, which is National Alliance of Mental Illness. And Morgan Wade performs, and her friend Lorene's mom is hugging Kyle. They're obviously devastated. Mauricio's not there, but Mauricio appears at this homeless, not toothless event, which, you guys, I don't want to speak too much on the homeless, not toothless, because it goes back to the Kathy Hilton thing. But I just find it weird that it's like, we'll leave you without a home, but not a grill.
That's what I'm saying.
I'd rather you house these people.
Yeah, but
instead.
A grill might give them a home.
Homeless, not toothless.
That's true.
I thought it was toothless, not homeless for the longest time. And I'm like, I guess that's fine. And then I'm like, it's homeless, not toothless.
They're like, you know what?
I'm going to give them a home.
You're going to be living in this box, but
why
you're going to have pearly whites. I need to do more research before I'm clowning on it, but they gotta change the name.
Yeah.
It's not a good name.
It is horrific.
It's not a good name.
But anyway, Mo goes to that, but was working out of town for like this celebration of life of his wife's best friend.
And supporting her mental illness. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just really not hitting for me.
I know.
He used to be so hot, and now I look at him and I'm like, you're pathetic.
Yeah.
And I look at her like, damn, bitch, you look cool.
She's killing it.
She looks very good.
She's better every year.
Like, I saw her. She was always pretty, but like, she's...
No, she is on a...
smacking.
Yeah, she's on a different level.
Yeah. I think it's the confidence is carrying right now.
But also, she said, after my friend died, I realized that life is too short for me to be around people I don't want to be around and to be around people who do not appreciate me. She also goes into, I will always have a place in my heart for Los Angeles, but I enjoy being outside. I enjoy going on hikes, being in the outdoors. So when Portia is done with school, I want to be somewhere where I can enjoy that. I think her eyes have been opened. She does not care about the fluff any longer.
Good
she just She'll wants go. To be happy and enjoy her life.
Tennessee.
Is that what you think?
I just think Tennessee. I just have like a feeling or something. Nashville, like outside of Nashville or like maybe Montana.
Maybe even Aspen though. She has a home in Aspen. Anyway, let's move on to the ache and relief of the week.
Jessica,
would you like to start us off?
Sure. My ache is friend guilt, which, you know what, I'm not going to get into, because tune in, you guys, to the next bonus episode that drops, because that is going to be discussed.
Okay. I love it.
My relief was the premiere. It was so much fun.
I love that.
Love the episode. I know this comes out a few days before. You guys are going to love the premiere episode. I encourage you to watch it with an open mind. I've never been more proud of you, Law.
Thank you. I love
you,
Jess.
January 30th, right?
Yep, January 30th, the premiere. Easton, what's your ache and relief?
My relief is also the premiere. Seeing all of the hard work that you put in and, you know, going and watching you film and come home and talking about scenes, we now get to see what it was, you know?
Yeah.
So that is my relief of like...
Easton's never lived here, so I just kind of go out and do my thing. It's never really talked about. Really... Now he's like boots on the ground. Yeah. Can you watch Ocean? I got to film.
So I see like her coming home and like it takes a toll on a lot of people. So I'm excited. The relief is like that you're done with it and we get to see everything about it. So I'm excited for that. That is a relief of the week, the month, or anything. So
I love
that. And I'm excited to see you, because every scene I saw you in, I'm not going to spoil anything, but I loved every scene, and
people will see
why. And then my ache is, I was really thinking hard about it, and I was like, you know what? The ache is like I'm going on more of like New Year's resolution and like growth.
Okay.
And when you grow, close people say it's change, and you're changing on them. So it's like maybe like the friendship guilt.
Mm-hmm.
It's touching on that almost of like, am I, like, I'm trying to grow, but while I'm doing this, my friends maybe think I'm changing, and I'm trying to grow while not putting that stress on friendship or family.
Totally.
You get what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, I'm trying to take time for me.
Okay.
Without making other people feel like they're not important.
Okay. Mm.
So, like, it's the guilt of that and me trying to find that happy medium of taking care of me and growing.
I want you to save a little bit of this for the bonus episode.
Okay, I can stop right
there. Tune in, you guys. It's the next bonus one, the one on the 29th.
Wow, we're kind of all on the same page, because my ache was going to be one of my guilts, but I think we'll save that and I'll pick a different one. My ache of the week is I was watching the reunions of Southern Charm, and as you guys know, Shep sat behind me at BravoCon, and he was very drunk, and it was intense. Well, the second part of the reunion, he opens up to the group about BravoCon. He says he was blacked out the entire time. Austin was really trying to make him presentable. Andy kind of weighs in and says, like, it was really, really bad. It scared Shep a lot, which makes me very sad, because I did see him at BravoCon. And I know that feeling of being so drunk that you cannot get any drunker. Mm. It is not fun. It is not This Is Vegas. It's called This Is My Everyday. And I don't want to label Shep, but with what he was saying, it really broke my heart. And so it seems like he's leading up to telling the group that he's sober. Well, he doesn't say that. He says, I am not going to be drinking hard alcohol and shots anymore, just beer. And the group looks just like so defeated by this. And Craig, who's been a dear friend of Shep's for many years, Craig was a hot mess. He has his life together now. He's killing it. But he says to him, you are driving on a road that ends with a cliff and I have to get out of the car. I cannot participate any longer. So my ache is for Shep and really anyone who's struggling. If you think that you have a problem, don't say I'm going to give up hard alcohol and only drink beer, because that is not a fix. My ache is, my heart breaks that he went through that at BravoCon. I wish that I could have been a support to him. And I really hope that he really gives up drinking, because I think he's going to live a really beautiful life when that happens. Only drinking beer and wine is not the answer. Oh. Giving it up is the answer. My relief is that I have been off social media and I feel just really happy about it. So going back to what we talked about at the beginning, I'm mentally tough. I'm in a really great space. I, again, don't know how you guys will receive this season. And I can't really care.
Mm-hmm.
This is my real life. I have to make sense of my life. And you guys will be on a really intense journey with me this season. I think the first episode is going to be very different from how you last saw me on television at the reunion. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with being called a flip-flopper, X, Y, and Z. Again, this is my real life, and you guys see the entire journey of me really coming to grips and finding peace in what my reality is and accepting my reality and saying, bitch, this is what it is, and it's not going to change, so what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, wow, that got very intense.
I'm excited to see your growth
this
season.
We'll see. I go from very compassionate to fuck this bitch. I said the F word again too.
And
so we're just trying to find some balance and do the whole thing. It's a lot, and I hope you participate in this journey with me.
Sorry about the F-bombs.
It's really an up and down roller coaster. Anyway, thank you guys for listening to another episode of the Give Them Lala podcast. I will catch you guys next week. And remember, the video of this episode will drop on Friday on YouTube at 9 a.m. Pacific time. Again, bonus episodes drop every Monday. That's the audio and video. You're welcome. We will catch you next time.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.